Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin with the Center for Science and Culture here in Seattle, Washington, on a very hot 97 degree day. And we have with us as our final installment of a six-part series of podcasts with Dr. Lyle Jensen. Thank you again for being on our show.
You're welcome.
As our listeners well know by now, during the first four installments of this series, we talked about Dr. Jensen and how he got interested in science as a young boy. We talked about his experience as a graduate student in science in the 1930s at the University of Washington. Then we learned about his very interesting experiences working as a research chemist on the Manhattan Project. In the fourth installment, we talked about his accomplishments as an X-ray crystallographer and some of the awards that he's won in his career. And then in the last podcast, we actually started to get into his views as a scientist on the theory of evolution and what is wrong with evolution. And as we learned, Dr. Jensen is a very firm believer that Darwinian evolution has scientific problems in that it is not capable of generating the order and complexity that we see in life. However, we have only begun to scratch the surface of Dr. Jensen's views because he's actually become an outspoken scientist of late on how evolution should be taught in schools. So Dr. Jensen, I'd like you to share a little bit about what do you think is wrong with the way evolution is taught in most schools today?
When it comes to teaching, I think that it's not fair to the students the way textbooks and teachers often are teaching evolution. I think any time that if you're teaching something that is controversial, you should give both sides of the controversy.
Yes.
Because it's not fair to the students to expose them to one side and not the other.
Do you think that most classrooms are exposing students to both sides?
I doubt it, but it seems to me if we're going to allow academic freedom, that one part of that's freedom to express yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in fairness to the student, I think any teacher should be careful that they don't teach just one side, particularly where there's controversy. It seems to me there are more and more scientists who are coming to the point where they see the fallacy in Darwinian evolution.
Mm. So in your experience, are most students taught about some of the scientific problems of evolution, or how is evolution usually taught in your years as an educator?
It seems to me the basic difficulty is that evolution is taught as fact. And I'm sorry to see this. With all of the things that are being written now, like with Dembski in the mathematical side of things, he shows the complexity of life, that there is no way that this could just happen. Dembski has gone thoroughly through that, that anything of complexity of life couldn't possibly evolve by anything like an evolutionary process. People should be very careful in the teaching of evolution, and they can have it as a theory if they want to, but this doesn't say that it's true. I think they should learn about the impossibility of it.
Dr. Jensen, don't evolutionary biologists have an explanation for how biological complexity can evolve?
Probably the most forceful evolutionist is at Oxford University, Dawkins. Some Australian creationists had scheduled meeting with Dawkins, and so they met with him and and they set up equipment. And about the first thing that they questioned that they asked Dawkins was, where does the information come from? The complexity of the genome, for instance, where does that information come from? It took Dawkins 11 seconds before he could think of some kind of an answer. And then it wasn't really an answer at all. And he's gone all over the world talking about evolution. I remember when he was scheduled here at the University of Washington, I thought, I've got to hear him. The first room where Dawkins was going to speak was filled when we got there, and I purposely went about 15 minutes early. But at the end of the lecture, turning to some people sitting next to me, and I said, are you convinced? No, they weren't convinced.
Obviously, many people are skeptical of evolution.
Yes.
And this is despite the fact that most schools, most biology classrooms teach that evolution is fact. They teach only a pro-evolution view.
Yes.
Why do you think people are still unconvinced of evolution?
I think that common people probably have a broader view in the sense that They probably have thought about it quite a bit. My feeling is that if they think carefully, they will see the difficulty of evolution. You see, my concern, in one sense, is that Darwinian evolution is holding back progress in the scientific area.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that when someone who believes in evolution does experiments, and they interpret those observations in terms of evolution, mm-hmm. then that's accepted for publication,
mm-hmm.
and then other people read it, then they say, this proves it, and they assume then that's right, and then they come right back in the reasoning.
Yeah.
It does circular reasoning.
Yep.
And that kind of thing in a field is going to hamper the field, and this will impair the advance of the field. But a lot of common people have never been exposed to the circular reasoning, and you see the difficulties.
So they're able to see through the assumptions, I guess, that are that others would not necessarily see.
Well, they have probably in their backgrounds just thought about things, how we got here,
mm-hmm.
and take a very different stand.
Yeah.
I recall particularly when I sent a letter to a colleague from the post office here, a man that had been there. I've seen him many times when I've been in, and I handed this letter. And I mentioned to him, in this envelope is a letter on evolution. And right off he said, oh, those evolutionists, they can't see through things. They're brainwashed. And he used the very term that I felt fit the situation. Because someone just at the post office, but he knew enough about it that they were brainwashed. Yeah.
As we said earlier, I believe, you've spoken out in favor of improving education for evolution. And as a matter of fact, a little over a year ago, you sent a letter to the Ohio State Board of Education supporting critical analysis of evolution.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could read for our listeners a couple short excerpts from that letter.
Sure.
Okay.
Students are rarely given the opportunity to learn about scientific discoveries which challenge evolution and the lack of evidence supporting the core claims of neo-Darwinism. Indeed, conspicuously lacking from scientific journals today are explanations of the ability of evolution to create new genetic information that leads to novel biological functions. If we teach that neo-Darwinism is a fully satisfactory account of the diversification of all life on Earth and fail to mention the notable scientific descent from that position, students will be misinformed about the evidence. Students must also be given the critical thinking skills necessary to excel as scientists, requiring students to critically analyze the evidence for and against neo-Darwinism will prepare them not only to understand current scientific debate, but will train them to become scientists capable of solving important questions facing our world.
You were talking earlier about academic freedom, and you have actually spoken out for academic freedom, especially in the case of Guillermo Gonzalez, in that you wrote a letter to the president of Iowa State University. And I was wondering if you could read for our listeners an excerpt from the letter that you sent to President Jeff Roy at Iowa State.
Okay. I understand personally the political pressures that arise during tenure decisions. About 50 years ago, I was denied tenure in my first year of eligibility at the University of Washington because a committee member feared that the newly developed methods of X-ray crystallography would displace his own career's research of sequencing amino acids. Of course, today, we know that modern applications of both methods are vital to gaining a complete understanding of protein structure and function. The lesson I have learned is that scientists often act politically and that new ideas can face intense political opposition, especially those that are perceived as threatening existing paradigms and power structures. But science benefits from academic freedom and freedom of research. Anything less ultimately brings harm to the prestige of the scientific enterprise. Yes.
Well, Dr. Jensen, those are some very powerful words and some very, I think, appropriate words to close up this series of podcasts. We have learned about your career as a scientist going back to the 1930s and the changes that you've seen over the years, the experiences you've had. And I think that if there's any message here, it's that scientists need to think.
Yes.
They need to think and they need to learn to be exposed to ideas that might be challenging. Would you agree with what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed. In fact, I think you need to listen to people who disagree with you, because it will cause you to think more deeply about the positions you have been taking.
Those are words that we should ponder very deeply, no matter what side you fall on this debate, for both supporters of intelligent design and supporters of Darwinian evolution, I think.
Yes.
Well, Dr. Jensen, I want to thank you so much for giving up your time to be on the series of interviews. We appreciate the work you're doing and the work you've done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, this is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. This is part 6 of 6 with Dr. Lyle Jensen. If you want more Dr. Lyle Jensen, I'm sorry. This is all we're going to have. But hopefully it's been enough for you to learn a little about this scientist's career and his views on evolution. This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.